Welcome to our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. We are continuing our series called Hard Questions, Solid Answers. This is a series of questions you have asked Pastor Dave throughout his years of ministry. Today's teaching is a continuation of the topic on angels. So let's listen in now as Pastor Dave continues answering this hard question with a solid answer.
It's interesting that Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, said an angel named Moroni led him to the golden plates containing the Book of Mormon, which is another gospel. It's interesting that Muhammad claimed he received the revelations contained in the Quran directly from the angel Gabriel, who's nothing more than a demonic imposter. The Church of the New Jerusalem, the Self-Realization Fellowship, the Unity School of Christianity, and all the New Age religions are riddled with these manifestation of angels, teaching them a different gospel. And Paul said, let them be accursed. See, God's true angels are not in the business of starting new religions. In Psalm 103:20, it says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word. Heeding the voice of his word, bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. That's what true angels do. They minister and they do God's bidding. That's what they do. We know from the Bible that Satan and his fallen angels seek to thwart the purposes of God and Christ. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is speaking to Christians because he has schemes to try and make you fall and be ineffective as a Christian. We also know that Satan himself puts a veil. He and his evil minions put a veil over people who are trying to seek spiritual truth. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. In Karen Goldman's The Angel Book, a handbook for aspiring angels, she says, angels don't fall out of the sky, they emerge from within. And the whole purpose in life is to know your angel self, accept it and be it. This way we'll finally experience true oneness. But we're told in Ezekiel 28 that angels are a separate part of creation. They are created before man as a wonderful kind of creation, that they are not within us. The movie, It's a Wonderful Life, not true. Every time you hear a bell, does not mean an angel's getting its wings. Just so you know. I'm sorry, it's not. It's a great fun. And when you die, you don't become an angel. We've heard that been said before. I know people are just trying to comfort some. Oh, you know that he's an angel now and he's up in heaven. He's just this wonderful. No, he's not. Angels are a separate part of creation. We get our glorified bodies, but we never become angels. That is not in the Bible. That is not what God's word says. We need to remember and share with others these simple truths about angels. They're messengers from God. Messengers will never contradict the Bible, God's word. The action of holy angels will always be consistent with the character of Jesus Christ. A genuine encounter with a holy angel will glorify God, not the angel. Holy angels never draw attention to themselves. They do their work or give their message, and then they disappear. Angels are to serve those who inherit salvation. They're not there to serve those who do not know Christ. Now, there's a difference between angels and the angel of the Lord. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 3. Moses is out tending his flock. All of a sudden he sees something start to happen there in the back part of the desert. And it says in verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire in the midst of the bush. So he looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. What is the angel of the Lord? It's the fire. He appeared to him in the fire. The bush is not being consumed. It is the angel of the Lord. It has a definite article before it. And so who is this person? Well, in verse 4, so when So when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look, and God called to him from the midst of the bush, saying, Moses, Moses. He said, Here I am. He said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So this angel of the Lord appears as a flame of fire. Moses is looking at the angel of the Lord. When he calls him, he speaks from the midst of the bush. So Moses sees the angel of the Lord, but he hears God. He sees the angel of the Lord, but he hears God. And then Moses hides his face because he's afraid to look upon God. So looking upon the angel of the Lord was looking upon God. So this title, angel Lord, you will find in the Old Testament occurs 56 times. As well as we see the angel of the Lord also referred to the commander of the army of the Lord in Joshua 5. The angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate, and this is a theological word, the incarnate Christ. What incarnation means is God becoming flesh is what that means. So before God became flesh in the person of Jesus, we have these pre-incarnate episodes here in the Old Testament, meaning before he came down in the flesh through Mary. We see Jesus in other forms in the Old Testament. It's called a Christophany. Okay, and so it's seeing Christ or Jesus himself before he was born through the Virgin Mary. And so it occurs like 56 times in the Old Testament. So Jesus in the flesh before being born of the Virgin Mary. The Bible makes this very clear. The Bible says no one can see God at any time and live. And so we get this. In Exodus 33:20, it says, But he said, You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time, okay? So you can't see God and live, but you can see the angel of the Lord. You can see Jesus, but you can't see God and live. And John, it says, no one has seen God at any time. Well, Moses is looking upon God through the veil, through the person of Jesus Christ as the angel of the Lord. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 6. And the reason why I say that is going to be defined right here, okay? So I've made a bold claim that you really can't make just from what I've read out of Exodus, so I'm going to build on that. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is lifted up to the throne room of God. And it says in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So he saw the Lord. So who is he seeing there when it says he saw the Lord? I would say Jesus. Okay, Dave, why would you say that? Because we're told that in John chapter 12. So keep your finger here in Isaiah 6 and go to John chapter 12, verse 37. And here's the commentary that John gives. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, meaning Jesus, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah again said, He has blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. What's the subject matter we're talking about here? Jesus. Because if you go back here to chapter 6, when he says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? In verse 9, it says, Then I said, Here I am, send me. And he said, Go and tell his people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, the ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, return and be healed. That's exactly that was said right here in chapter 12 of John, where it just says right here, these things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Who was Isaiah seeing there in the throne room of God when he saw the Lord, when he spoke to the Lord? It's none other than the person of Jesus Christ. John tells us that. This is Jesus he was talking about. Thus, it was the glory of Jesus on that throne that Isaiah saw. In Exodus 23, we're told of a time when God the Father spoke to Moses and said he would send an angel to guide and protect the children of Israel in the wilderness. God refers to this angel as my angel and says, my name will be on him or in him. And so when you read about chapter 23 about this angel, he's no ordinary angel. His name shall be on him. When has he ever said that about any other angel? He hasn't. And so the angel that leads them through the wilderness as a cloud by day and fire by night is none other than the person of Jesus Christ. In Judges 13, the angel of the Lord appears to Manoah and his wife to inform them that they're going to have a child named Samson. When Manoah asked the angel for his name, he replied, why do you ask my name, seeing that it is wonderful? Isaiah 9:6 tells the Messiah has many titles. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Manoah understood this, that this angel was God, because he turned to his wife and says, we will surely die, for we have seen God. Remember that little episode in Genesis 32 when Jacob wrestles with the angel of God? I want you to go to Genesis 32. Real funky situation there. In Genesis 32, starting in verse 22, it says, and he rose that night, took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, crossed over the ford of Jabbok. And he took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Where'd this guy come from? You know, guy's minding his own business, and it's like all of a sudden he's, boom, he gets tackled, and he starts wrestling with them, breaking of the day, all the way until the breaking of the day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint. He wrestled with him, but he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So this is not just any ordinary man. Jacob obviously recognizes what's going on here and knows that he's not going to let this guy out of his sight. He said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And then Jacob saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So I personally believe that he told him his name, because in verse 30 it says, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. Now, again, God's word interprets God's word. Go to Hosea, right after the book of Daniel there. Hosea chapter 12. So, it says here in verse 1 of 12, it says, Ephraim feeds on the wind and pursues the east wind. He daily increases lies and desolation. Also, they make a covenant with the Assyrians. The oil is carried to Egypt. The Lord also brings a charge against Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his deeds. He will recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, that's Jacob, with Esau. And in his strength, he struggled with God. Look what it says. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. So God is the angel here. Now remember, it doesn't mean an angelic being, the angel. Remember what angel means, messenger. There's no greater messenger in the whole world than Jesus himself, who is called God here. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. That is the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorial name. So you, by the help of your God, return, observe mercy and justice, wait on God continually. That right there tells me that this man he wrestled with was an angel, and he's God. And that would speak of Jesus Christ. That would speak of Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord. And so, understand there are angels and there is the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord is always speaking of Jesus before he was born in the flesh, coming in some sort of, you know, of an appearing of a man before he was actually born through Mary. So I hope I've made that clear. If not, we can talk more of it in the question and answer time. I know this is a long subject matter, but there's just so much. And, of course, we have to get to the one thing that I've taught before. Do angels sing? Well, they have to sing because we have that Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. glory to the newborn king. So, I want to lead you down a path and then bring you right around, and I think you'll all be happy with it once I'm done. In the New Testament, the Greek word for sing or sang is salo, or eido, or humne. Salo means to twitch or twang, to play on a stringed instrument, celebrate divine worship music. Eido means to sing humne, means in the way of a hymn or a religious melody or ode. So in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. These are all words, salo, psalmos. In Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. The word sang here is humne, means a religious song to celebrate God. However, nowhere in the New Testament do we see these words being used in the way of angels singing. And so people like to go to Revelation 5. Aren't the angels singing with the 24 elders? So go to Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, it says in verse 8, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying. So they sang a new song. Yeah, well, who's singing there? The elders. Why can't the angels be singing here? Because of what they're singing. You're worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals. You were slain. You have redeemed us to God by your blood. Angels are not redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They can't sing this. This has nothing to do with them. Of every tribe, a nation, tongue, a people, a nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice, phoné, means sound, doesn't mean singing, of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, saying with a loud voice, doesn't say singing. The word there is lego. It means to speak forth. Worthy is Lamb who was slain to receive power. And verse 13 at the end, it says, and all were in them, and I heard them saying, there's lego again. It's saying and saying and saying. I want you to go to Luke chapter 2. This is where they get the hark the herald angels sing. Because it sounds better than hark the herald angels said. In verse 13, and suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying. It's not singing. So Dave, are you telling me that angels don't sing? Would I do that? In the Old Testament, the human word for sing or sang is the word shir. It's a word that is only used when it comes to man. It's used like too many times to name of a man singing, or we're going to sing unto the Lord and sing praise the Lord in the Psalms. It's that word shir. But the word is never used for angels. Never used for angels. But in Psalm 104, verse 12, it does say this, by them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. But it's not the word shir. It's a word kole. It means to make a call, a voice or a sound, a loud crackling. It's a noise. It is a sound. Have you ever heard a bird sing? I would say it sounds really pretty, doesn't it? I mean, some. Not caw, caw. I mean, I don't think that's too great, you know. But when you hear a bird whistle or the sounds that they make, there are some birds that are very beautiful, and you can say, isn't that wonderful? Can you hear that bird singing? And I would say, okay, the way the bird is uttering that noise or whatever, sometimes it's beautiful, sometimes not so beautiful, but the beautiful ones, I would say, okay, the bird is singing. But they're not singing like we sing, do they? And as much as you try and mimic the birds and stuff like that, you don't sound as good as them either. Because that's not what you were created to do. You were created to sing the way that we sing in worship. The bird was created to sing the way a bird sings. So when somebody asks me, you know, if angels sing, I say it this way. They don't sing like we do. I would not doubt that they have some giftedness when it comes to making melody to the Lord. I don't think that they sing like us. And I think it's one of the reasons why all through the Psalms and all through the New Testament we're told to sing unto the Lord, to sing to him a new song, to sing. We see that all through the Word of God. Why? Because we can do something that the rest of creation cannot when it comes to worshiping God. Birds can worship God in a way that we can't. And I think angels can worship God in a way that we can't either. And I do believe that when we all come together, we can all sing and probably worship God, but the angels are going to be a little bit different in the way of how they do that melody unto the Lord than we do. And I do believe it's one of the reasons why we're constantly being told, hey, sing unto the Lord. Why? Because we're the only ones that can in that way. In that way. So when people ask me, do angels sing? I say, they don't sing like we do. Okay, they probably have some sort of melody, some sort of voice that they can lift unto the Lord, but not like us. And that's why God calls us to do that. Amen? So don't bust my chops over, you know, that I don't think that they really sing or whatever. In Job 38:7, people bring me there and says, when the morning stars sang together, and aren't the morning stars speaking of the sons of God and how they shouted for joy? The word sang there is renan. It means to creak. It means to cry out. It means to shout. The word shouted actually means there. It just means to shout, make a joyful noise. Again, not the same. Not the same. There's another thing about angels, too, in Hebrews 13:2. It says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. The word entertain there doesn't mean that, you know, you put on a puppet show for them and things like that. It actually means be hospitable is what that means. It means that whatever their need is, you want to serve them. If they need a place to stay, that you have them over to your house and things like that. You give them lodging. You give them what they need. I find it interesting that because we know the angel Lord speaks of Jesus, that in Matthew 25, Jesus says, for I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty, you gave me drink, I was a stranger, you took me in. When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And so as we're ministering to other people, we're doing it as unto the Lord. And some of these other people we might not even know, but it's just an opportunity to be able to minister the needs of someone else. And by doing so, you're actually being hospitable to angels and you don't even know it. Again, as a report almost to the Lord, you know, going back and say, hey, I just want to let you know I broke down with gas and, you know, and so-and-so, you know, Dave came by and helped me out and took me to a gas station and filled me up and, you know, and I went on my way. You have no idea if that was an angel or not. You know. And so I think that's kind of a neat thing. It would be really interesting to find out which angels we helped and, you know, which ones we just went flying past. You know, get up in heaven, one of the angels says, yeah, I know you. How do you know me? Well, I'm the guy that you kept passing by in the street as I was pulled over on the side of the road. Never can the bowels of
That concludes this Friday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Tune into this radio station on Monday as we continue our series, Hard Questions, Solid Answers. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Child care is available during all our weekend services. You can also join us for a barbecue and Bible study on Wednesdays at Rhyolite Park, located right here in Castle Rock. The barbecue will begin at 5:30 and then worship and the Word will begin at 6:45. Please be sure to bring a side dish to share. And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.